You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone pastors the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hope of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. Or should I say, welcome to Tim Talks. Woo! Winter is upon us, my friend. Oh, I hate it. Hate it. When you stop playing in it, it's just no fun anymore. Are you warm?
Yeah, I'm warm right now.
Have you got your cup of tea?
I have my cup of tea, yes, sir.
Are you soaking your feet in it like you normally do? Oh, gross. Hey, Brother Wolven, does your wife like watching those home renovation shows?
No, she likes watching those cooking shows.
Oh, my wife loves House Hunters International, Tiny House International, Tiny House Renovation, Beachfront Properties, Beachfront International, Beachfront Fix It Up, Fix Up a House and Sell, Two People That Don't Know How to Fix Up a House. She loves those shows. And I like some of them. I like watching some of them, but she could watch that stuff. It drives me crazy. But it has taught me something. It's taught me that those people who take care of their homes and update it from time to time do much better selling their homes than those people that say, I'm going to live in this house for 50 years and I'm never going to change it because I like it the way it is. They have a harder time selling and making better money on their house.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of ties in with what we're talking about. When's the last time you renovated your church building, especially the auditorium? When's the last time you painted or changed the carpet or anything like that? When's the last time you think?
The last time we really did any renovation was probably about 8 years ago. But since I've been here in 17 years, we completely changed all of the lighting. And we went to like all candelabras, which made we have a classic looking auditorium. And then yes. We had completely painted ceilings, walls, everything. We are right now starting to consider the aspect of, you know, new carpet and things like that. That'll be a major renovation because, unfortunately, nice. Once you start with the carpet, you say, well, you know, then we may as well look at these pews. And yep. So, you know, it really yep. winds up becoming much more major than what you'd like. But we're going to be remodeling our foyer. That's one of our goals this year in 2019. So that definitely needs to be updated some.
Yeah, I have to tell you that is not the norm in that amount of time. I will tell you that I think our auditorium still looks really good, but it's dated. We built it 22 years ago. We have never changed the carpet because it still looks good. And we've painted the auditorium twice in those 22 years. But there is some decor in our auditorium that has not changed in that amount of time. Our church is going to change that in the next year or two with the change of pastors. I kind of left that for Pastor Yeomans to be able to do that to his own taste.
Yes.
But that's something that I think a lot of churches could do in our conversation of changing some things. I think a lot of churches need to consider just being up to date with the decor of the day, and it does change. I was in a church Sunday, great people. They're without a pastor. I was filling the pulpit for them, and super, super sweet people. Spotless, clean building, but they still had paneling on the auditorium walls. Mm-hmm. And they had Gothic windows with stained glass. So it was very, very outdated. And as I looked at that, I thought, man, there's some things they could do that would have really helped that auditorium look much better and fit the decor of the day. So those are some of the things that we can do and change. What are some other things you think that ministries can change without compromising?
Well, you know, we just don't have the money to stay up on the cutting edge of technology, but I would say to use some technology to our advantage. We're trying to update some. We've been trying to adapt. There's a lot of people that are one side or the other on, you know, screens in the auditorium and those kind of things. And last year I started to, we've used screens for announcements and those kind of things. And so last year I sort of did a 1 month trial. We didn't necessarily put the words on the screen, but we put the hymn number because it's easy to miss that sometimes, right. And a couple of announcements and the points of the message and things. And then I told people that, let's see if we like it. We're open. And more people than not, they said they really liked seeing those points. Yes. Now, I don't do it on Sunday night, Wednesday yeah. night. But on Sunday morning, we do that and make it more of a little bit of visual. Because it's gone so well, we're going to try to do even some more adapting. If God continues to let us grow like we have been financially, we're going to try to do some more adapting with some of that audiovisual kind of thing as we can. But I think that's one thing that it was tough for me, and it still is, you know, because I'm an old stodgy guy sort of at heart, and yeah. you know, it's like, man, I don't even want to appear like I'm going modernistic, but you know, heavens, having a screen right. in the auditorium doesn't mean you're going liberal.
No. Well, and I'd say do you have a screen in your house? Do you have a television in your home? Do you have a computer screen? Do you have a screen on your phone? That's part of the cultural change. Everybody's looking at a screen. And I don't know where we got the idea that if we put a screen up in our auditorium that was something bad. I think because contemporary works or Pentecostal or charismatic works did it first, that we associate that, well, that can't be right because
right.
they did it
and,
first.
And we're copying them. The and we should not be copying
right.
someone who has false doctrine. And so I think that's the right. whole connotation of where that came. And I'm not against somebody having a screen, or I'm not going to deride no. someone because they don't have a screen. I mean, man, let them do as right. they see fit. But some of the areas of technology, I think, can really be utilized, you know, better. Tell you what, I told our congregation this yesterday. I was preaching at one church, and whenever they got ready to give the offering, half the people took their phones out and they gave through their app. You know, they like doing yeah. you know, they'd pass the plate, but they, you know, almost everybody under 30, 35 took their phones out and gave then. You know, like, I want to participate right. in the offering in church, but they give electronically.
Yeah. Yeah. How much cash do you have in your wallet right now?
Oh, probably about $65. Normally,
well,
I have five.
Right. I was going to say, man, you must have robbed a bank.
Oh, no.
It's just because
nope.
I'm not there to pay for you like I
normally
do.
No, I have
do.
To take that back. I've got about 365. I hide 50s and 100s in different places in my Ooh. Wallet for emergencies.
Oh, you know Denise is listening to this, right?
I've got $5 in my wallet right now.
I will tell you, yeah, exactly. I have $20 in my wallet only because I just came back from vacation, and it's $20 US that I used in transit. Normally, I do not have $5 in my wallet. I use a debit card or a credit card always. It's just so much more convenient, and it's possible for us today. Who goes to the bank? I never go to the bank, ever. I've got people that tell me the only reason I go to the bank is to get my tithe withdrawn from the bank. People don't like using checks because you have to pay for them. And so we set up, online giving. Most websites yeah. have that. And we also have here, we can e-transfer. I don't know if you guys do that, but we can e-transfer. So I send an email with a money amount attached from my bank, and boy, it goes right into their account, and there you go. Mark of the beast, they got the offer.
Yeah, ours is a little bit different than that, but yeah, same thing.
Yeah. So that's something I think that you can do. And statistics do show that if people can do that, your offerings are probably going to go up because people don't forget it at home and they can do it. We got a card reader a while ago, and we started using that for activities. After the service, you can go out in the hallway, and you can pay for your activity right here, right now. And it's going to cost the church a percentage. But we just tell people, hey, instead of giving $5, could you give $6 to cover the percentage? And they do it. They're gladly doing it. So those kind of things are awesome. And I think you're right. Technology is a great impact today. And I have people in our church, because we did take a forefront on that, I got tired of being behind on things sometimes. So I said, you know what? When video came out and people were using video, I said, man, we're going to do that. And so we got the equipment, we got people to learn how to do it, and started using video announcements. I love it. I love it. It's time consuming. It's tricky to get it right. But man, if you can do it, it's so sharp. So sharp. Any other ideas, things that you can change?
I think it is, we have been trying to rethink or revisit Sunday school for, teens on up. Now, I am completely opposed to the idea of less is better, less Bible, mm-hmm. more discussion, only have like a 20-minute session out of 40 and talk and have coffee and donuts the other time. I don't think that's productive. I think we need more Bible. But our 20s and 30s Sunday school class, the teacher really concentrates a lot on discussion, and the greatest majority of them really enjoy that because they're interacting. Mm-hmm. In our auditorium class, I'm trying to use more visual things, working harder on using PowerPoint and trying to do those kind of things to make it a little bit more visual. And I'm always saying, you got to raise your hand and interrupt me because I get into preaching mode. But trying to be right. more interactive. I think the many of our independent Baptist churches need to re-examine what's going on in Sunday school. And as hard and as difficult as it may be, we've just got to get away from the boring teachers.
Oh, absolutely. I will tell you that we went to, we call them connect groups. You can call them small groups or whatever you want to call them. We went to connect groups on Sunday mornings. We break into age groups. I was in the midlife group. We called it the midlife crisis group. And I want to tell you what, I loved it. I didn't think I was going to like it, but we sent out questions ahead of time, a study passage. Then they come together on Sunday. We have a teacher that kind of goes through it, kind of gives his thoughts. And then he does open it to answers to the questions. And I have learned that our people know far more about the Bible than I give them credit for sometimes. And they take time Amen. To really think and digest some of that stuff.
Amen.
I love it. And our church loves it. And it has brought more people out for that Sunday school hour than anything we've ever done. So we have changed that. But we have tried to make sure that it's good quality teachers heading the class. People that can draw the thing in if it gets out of hand. People that can drive us back to the main topic. And it is Bible-centered, Bible-centered, Bible-centered. And it's driving us to the passage. It's driving us to think about it. And we're getting more out of it. So I think that is something that you can do as well. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and we still are not changing the lesson. We're not changing the content. We're not changing the scripture. Trying to reach people where they are in a more engaged manner. And I think to do that takes more work. And it takes more effort, and mm-hmm. maybe sometimes we get to the point of thinking, hey, this is we're not going to do that modernistic kind of stuff, but engaging our people in the Word is always going to be a positive rather than being disengaged,
Mm-hmm. I think Twitter proves to us that people want to have some input. They want to say something. They have an idea. They want to share that. And for many years, we have squelched that almost. You don't speak in class. You don't say anything. The preacher's preaching. There's still time for that, and we still need that and must have that. But I think for our people to become interactive has been a great help and has not hurt our church at all. It's been a good thing. So I like that. Well, we've got Friday left, and let's do this. Let's look in on Friday some things that can't change or shouldn't change and that are being changed. Let's take a look at it that way, and we'll look kind of back. We've kind of looked at things we can change. Let's take a look at it that way. I'm Brother Al Stone in St. Thomas.
This is Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio, reminding us that many are cold and few are frozen.
You're not kidding. And I'd like to remind you that please share Tim Talks with Someone Else and subscribe and leave a comment for us. That would be awesome. It's Tim Talks, and now it's Tim Time. Time to go out and share and use and consider some of the things we've said. You might need to change some things in your ministry, and there's some things that you should not change. We'll talk about that next time on Tim Talks. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.